This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. We are here, we're live. It's the first week of December. Breathe in the summer. Breathe in the good weather. Breathe in the people starting to become more relaxed. Deadlines disappearing. Last little bit of an effort at work. Seeing the people you want to see. There are going to be some forced family things that you're going to have to take into consideration. For some people that's unpleasant. For others it's slightly more pleasant. Who knows? You're going to have to see your drunkles and aunts who you can usually avoid for the rest of the year. Have to see, you know, a couple of in-laws or people that you didn't expect to see that suddenly come crawling out of the woodwork, eating all your food. And in between, occasionally, you might have some fun.
Oh, no.
How it goes. First of all, happy birthday to Ben for yesterday.
Yay.
Hey.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Did you do anything?
Yeah, I kind of postponed my birthday till next Sunday. That's what's going
to
happen.
Are you allowed to do that?
Well, I don't know. Do I have to go to Home Affairs? Do I have to make a call to somebody? If anyone could help, because I had to work yesterday from I woke up at 4 and I went to bed last night at about up as 12.
Oh my god! And you the whole way in between there was nothing but work.
Well, I had to have a nap. I had like a 3-hour nap because I was just so shattered from a kind of weekend of drinking and a great like Christmas party on Friday.
Oh nice!
I tried golf again on Saturday and that went pretty well. And then
good.
Yeah, but the reason I had to work is for this guy that I'm filming this transformation series around, Hobbo. Shout out Hobbo. He's not listening because his legs are sore. He's in bed right now.
Is that his government name? Or is that like a nickname?
No, his name's James Hobson. So it's part of his whole
Biology. We call him Hobbo. Okay.
So he's Hobbo. And yesterday was his first triathlon. So good for him. But we went to the most amazing place for this. This place called Cradle Moon out in the Cradle.
Yeah.
One of the coolest places I've seen in Joburg. So I'm making a video. It'll go out tomorrow so you can see what I'm talking about. But it's got this huge lake, but like massive lake. It's one of the few places you can go and practice your open water swimming if you're a triathletist. And then you cycle out into the Cradle, and then you come back and you do a trail run. And there's there's animals and it's one of the coolest places. I've been living here for like 16 years. And
it's constant surprise. I mean, there are so many, particularly on the West Rand, there's so many places that are really, really interesting for a day trip, you know. But go out there and see stuff.
They also launched the hot air balloons from that place. So as you arrive, there's hot air balloons in the air.
Wow.
And then there's a little buck running around. There was over 900 people did this race yesterday.
I know, it's madness.
There is a whole different world out there of Toyota Fortunas and Lycra that is very busy up here on the weekends.
I have to tell you, a friend of mine started doing these triathlons a while ago because he started dating this girl. And he got really, really fit really, really quickly. Started doing pretty well at the triathlons. So he makes it almost every month he does one maybe.
I can see the appeal, I really can.
Yeah, it becomes a very exciting way to spend your weekends, I suppose. But what's happened to him is, I don't know if it's because of the extreme fitness or if it's because he always had a weak liver, but it turns out that he actually can't drink anymore. At all.
Yeah. Have you told us such a sad story on a Monday morning?
Such a sad, dark story on a Monday. I tell you what it also is, Gareth.
He can't drink. His liver has completely
could have
failed
warned
him.
Us. My goodness.
But I tell you what it also is. It's probably his body's way of just saying, okay, I like being healthy. I'm just going to tell the liver that we can't do this drinking nonsense anymore.
Oh, no.
Probably.
Because once you get into it, you prefer not waking up like shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where he is now. So he definitely can't do the way he used to, these big nights of drinking and carrying on, so that's over for him. And that is a sad story, Leanne.
Gee, I'm quite shaken.
Are you upset?
Yeah. I'd hate that to happen to me. I was going to go for a walk later, but I'm not anymore.
don't test it.
Are you okay? Would you like me to get some counseling for you after the show?
It's okay. I've got vodka in my water.
That's why it's always a little bit clearer than our water, isn't it?
That. And it seems more refreshing than
does.
Ours
so
as
it
well.
It seems to have a much more profound effect on her than our water does on us.
And Sia, did you get to spend time with Oprah?
Oh, guys.
Let's get this out of the way now before we slow
down. Let me help preface Sia's very, very confusing day yesterday because I saw some of his Instagram videos. Sia was having a moment Sia had a tough time because the people who'd offered him tickets to Global Citizen had told him he can just collect them at the stadium. Now, the danger of that is you get there and maybe they're not there, and it's a schlep to get to FNB Stadium, or what do they call it now? Yeah, FNB Stadium.
Soccer City.
Soccer City. Something. Whatever, you know what it is.
Yes.
So they closed off the Soweto Highway, closed off all the other roads leading to it. I mean, you really, it was a ball ache to get there if you did go. And if you were one of the people who went, I want to know how you did it, because I can't do that stuff, huh? I have no patience anymore. Even if it's to see people I really want to see.
Look, and isn't it funny? We were talking about this exact thing last week sometime. Yeah. And I said, no, guys, it's about the moment. You do want to get caught up in the crowds and the mess. It's all part of the experience. But yesterday, I just could not get myself to leave the house and just overlook the traffic and the hordes of people. And
the heat and the rain. No,
I really, really couldn't. And I was trying to get myself out of this mindset, saying, oh my gosh, it will be so worth it. There's Oprah there, there's Tyler Perry, there's Beyonce performing for 2 hours. And I just couldn't. So no, I ended up just giving up my Global Citizen ticket. And I thought, rather just stay at home, you watch it on TV. Because in any case...
It was on TV?
It was on TV. They had a full-on special channel for it yesterday, just to broadcast it. But hearing from people who were already there and hearing how the operations of it were working also turned me off, because there was a specific cutoff for other people. You know, this guy was the exception and I was part of it, which was cool. But for everyone else, they had to be there by 11. And there was
Morning?
11 in the morning.
Aye, aye, aye.
And there was a cutoff by 4 p.m. That means... that is when specifically you had to be at the stadium. And it was like the mafia. Once you're in, you're in. So you couldn't go into the stadium and decide, oh no, I just want to go out to the car or go and fetch something. Mm. And you think about the fact that the concert started at 12 or 1 p.m. and would essentially finish at midnight. Mm-hmm. So those are 10, 11 hours stuck in one place. You also couldn't bring your own things into the stadium. So you couldn't bring your own drinks. You couldn't bring your own food. We know how overpriced things tend to be at events like this. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking about 10 hours in the heat, how many drinks you'll be buying and how much money you'll then be wasting. Yeah. Then at midnight, you have to go and you take another bus and you take an Uber and you take... I just thought, no, thank you. Mm-mm. Let me sit at home. Let me moisturize. Let me do my face mask and I'll just casually watch it on TV where I get to channel hop with ease. Yeah.
So you made it home in time to watch?
No, I didn't even go at all. So I was at home the entire way through.
I thought you'd started the mission. Mm-mm. Okay.
No, I just couldn't do it. Yeah, so really was a bit disappointed in that way. There was also the official dinner that was happening on Saturday night. That's where everyone was meant to be, and I was really rummaging to get through that. I finally got a way in, only to discover at like 6 p.m., and the dinner was scheduled to start at 7, that no international guests were there. So I'm like,
What a waste.
What
was Oprah doing?
So they're all, girls. So they all had like private parties around town.
Oh, yeah.
Oprah has booked out the entire Saxon Hotel. And it's her and all of her chommies who were staying there. So Oprah and Naomi Campbell and Tyler Perry and Gail were staying at the Saxon. Beyonce had booked out a restaurant in Bryanston. And I only knew that because just by chance, I love this, just by chance I happened to go there for lunch in the afternoon.
Really?
And I was having lunch with friends and we sat and all of a sudden there are these private dining rooms in this restaurant, and we'd heard that they were booked out, and I didn't put the two and two together, but then we see like security.
Is this Rockets?
Jameli and Brian.
Oh, Jameli, okay.
Then all of a sudden we see, you know, these big burly men walk past and we go, okay, so obviously there's someone international in this restaurant.
Or a deputy senior minister of something.
Yeah.
But Global Citizen Weekend, you really aim for the stars with this one, excuse the pun. And we were just in the middle of our meal and Pharrell Williams starts walking through the restaurant and not even walking through I'm in a rush, not going to talk to anyone way. He stopped, he was greeting people. People were asking for photos. He was gladly obliging. But like, we were like, oh, Pharrell is here?
Was he dressed like an unemployed person?
You know, that's his look, right?
A friend of mine tweeted yesterday. A friend of mine tweeted, I'm in PE today and the people here dress better than Pharrell.
If you think of a four-year-old fashion sense and you mix that with drugs, that's Pharrell style. But yeah, basically got to chill with Pharrell for a while. And then once we saw that he was there, we asked around with the staff and we were whispering around. And they said, no, Saturday night was fully booked. Sunday night, they're closing the restaurants as well. And Monday, they have a private client who's booked it out as well. So the final few international stars who are here really are.
So you're telling me they didn't go to this? So they did the show, though.
They did the show yesterday, but the official Global Citizen dinner, no one pitched up. Which for me is very odd. If you're bringing international stars,
false advertising.
I would assume that there's some sort of contract or obligation that you have to make certain appearances at the official events.
And yeah, no one who were all here? Because I honestly, I didn't know.
Ed Sheeran was here.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about this, the lineup, or I took zero interest in this thing. I've got to be honest. Mm-hmm. And no, that's lazy of me and I should do, you know, make some effort and do a bit of research.
That was big. It was big. They really did, you know, go through the roof when it comes to their standard, because it was Beyonce, it was Jay-Z, it was Ed Sheeran, it was Pharrell, it was Usher, DJ Black Coffee.
Usher.
Yeah. Those are just some of the international people. And then, like, Bob Geldof was also here.
Yo, he won't miss an up. He's at the stage of his career now where he'll take any invitation, right?
I met him at a private party 20 years ago, and he was already on his last legs then.
He was already browning around the edges.
I think he's seen his fair share of time. Who's the frontman of Pearl Jam?
Eddie Vedder, yeah.
He was also here. Forest Whitaker, Tyler Perry, Danai Gurira. They
were just here for the party.
Though. Yeah. Oprah, of course, Forest did a keynote just before Beyonce and Jay-Z.
I heard she was drunk.
No, who said that?
Someone said to me she was quite drunk.
Absolutely not.
Not?
I think she... You know, guys, you know, South Africa, our land. Can we just have a family meeting now that Global Citizen's over? Let's all just band together, sing Kumbaya, and have a family meeting. How do we have Eskom cutting electricity this weekend?
Yeah, it's outrageous. But you've got a lot of people to thank for that. You've got Jacob Zuma, the Guptas. Mm. You've got Malusi Gigaba. You've got Lynn Brown. We've got Brian Molefe. Coco, all of those people, we have them to thank for that. And every time your electricity goes out during the festive season, which it will, you must think about those people.
It's light a good candle and think of them.
Yes, because we must not forget what we've just emerged from and what kind of a government we've tolerated and how low our standards are for our leaders. So I want you to remember that every time the power goes out, because it is embarrassing.
Yes.
It's also very off-putting. It's also very inconvenient and will hit business hard.
Well, just to kind of make you at ease, I don't think Oprah had to suffer from that at this accident.
But she did suffer from technical issues, which once again, I cringed. I'm like, why do we have to show ourselves like this? She had her address at the stadium. The spotlight was off her the entire time.
Oh, boy.
So you just...
It wasn't her that was drunk. It was the spotlight operator.
You caught glimpses of her every now and then. And then there was a way... And really, like, Oprah was drumming up to a point. She was speaking about Madiba, and her line was along the lines of Madiba being in prison for 27 years was not able to raise his own kids. And the point to that was her completing the line saying, but he raised a nation. And as she was getting into it, she goes, Madiba was not able to raise his own kids. And then the mics just go off.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm like, why? And she taps the mics once awkwardly and she taps it again. It was, with no exaggeration, probably like a minute of her mic not working and the spotlight still not finding her properly. My goodness. But I love South Africans. They just started chanting her name up until the mics went on again. But what a weekend.
Amateurish.
I know. What a weekend.
Anyway. All right. So if you did go, I want to know how you got there and how you got out.
What time you
are you
home?
Out yet?
Maybe you're still on your way from the stadium, you know?
Because I heard roads were blocked as well.
Yeah. It's always chaos going to that stadium, even if it's a small event. So, except for the traffic, we had an easy time at Guns N' Roses the other night, says Sean. But I mostly agree with you guys. It's such a schlep attending these huge concerts. I only go to bands I really want to. And my days of general admission are over. I get nice seating, like the old fuck I am. Mm-hmm. How's that, huh? Not good?
See, this is what I'm here for. If I had said that, then you guys would say I'm a spoiled brat. But really, I can't do general anymore.
Someone says you're lying, Ben. You definitely watched the Arsenal game.
I did. I watched the second half, yeah. But that's while I was converting photo, videos across. And what a second half it was.
Michelle says, ass, you are my spirit animal. I love your sincerity.
Ooh.
Anushka says, I love Dave Chappelle, but I missed Zuma. The crowd was crap. Only Ed and Beyonce seemed to have proper sound. Luckily, I slept early in the comfort of my own home. I'm sure it was a mess trying to get out of there. Yeah, I still want to hear what people's stories are. Anyway, so we got lots of good stuff for you this morning. It's going to be a busy start to your day. We've got Anthea popping by with a look at the money shot this morning, which is going to be very exciting. We've got a guy called Lorenzo Escobar, who's an entrepreneur and a speaker. He's from Canada. He's going to be talking to us about the Global Citizen Festival, among other things. And he has a really interesting take on the world. He's achieved success in the automotive industry, but is now focused on inspiring aspiring entrepreneurs. He works with the Africa Rising Foundation and with Ndaba Mandela, and we'll speak to him just now. Rich Mulholland will join us for the reality check later on, and we'll get some news in. So it's going to be busy. I hear that the Clintons cannot sell any tickets to their shows anymore. They've had to wrap up their world tour.
They have a show?
What?
Bill and Hillary were traveling around.
When they came here.
But yeah. Speaking engagements.
Oh, right.
They're doing a little like talking thing. And they go around to various places. And apparently it has not gone well.
Was the one here well attended?
The Discovery one. Yeah, I think that was very well attended. But the ones that they're trying to sell in North America, not so good.
Really?
It's not working out for them. Ooh. So they've had to call it a day.
Well, on the other side of the scale, Monica Lewinsky is having great reviews. Remember a few weeks ago we spoke
There's something
about...
something ironic about that, right?
a few weeks ago we spoke about her new documentary that she's releasing. It's like a four-part documentary series in the States where she speaks very openly about the entire relationship. That's getting massive numbers and ratings, great reviews all around. And the people are saying that they're warming up to her again. They're seeing her in a different light because she's so candid about this.
Good. It's about time she got some, you know.
This is her time. So maybe she'll be doing a speaking tour around the world then.
All right. Let's get into five things.
Sorry, just before we do that, Gareth, can I just update the death pool?
Oh.
Gareth, yes. Gareth got 6 points over the weekend.
I got 6 points for George H.W. Bush.
Yeah. 94. And he bowed out.
Yeah. And he did bow out beautifully. The man has received nothing but praise for the way that he comported himself as both president and a past president, because it's very hard for someone. Remember, he was president I think he finished in 1994, right?
He was 41, if I'm not mistaken.
He was the 41st president, finished in 1994. He was succeeded by Bill Clinton. I just saw lots of really moving and interesting things about him that come out. You know, when someone dies, people tend to drag out all kinds of stuff, some of it not that great. Well, they showed, I think Bill Clinton was the one who posted a picture of his letter that, you know, presidents leave a letter for each other when they leave the White House. On the Oval Office desk, they leave a letter saying, hey, you know, this is what I've learned. This might be useful to you. He wrote the nicest letter to Bill Clinton.
That's nice.
Basically saying, you know, you've got your own family, but now we're all your family and we're rooting for you hard. And I'm here to support you if you ever need anything. And then they showed a picture just this morning of his coffin and his dog lying in front of it, just kind of paying tribute as well. I think very, very, just I'm hearing lovely stories about George H.W. Bush and what an absolute gentleman he was. You know, came from a pretty well-to-do East Coast family, had a history of politics in the family too. A great legacy to leave, not only to have been president yourself, but to have seen your own son be president. That's got to be something really moving.
Mm.
And, of course, Barbara Bush, you know, his wife, who I think died, what was it, about a year or two ago?
Yeah.
And now he's done too. And there we go. I'll claim those 6 points for the death pool. But
which takes you to the top of the log, Gareth. You're currently on 6 with your George Bush Sr. I am on 2nd with my Stan Lee on 5 points. And Sierra is currently 0.
Oh, shit.
Lost.
Okay, well, I'm leading. That's all I care
My goodness,
about.
What a big year. Actually, Barbara Bush passed away in April this year.
Oh, it was this year.
Your 2018 has been long.
It has.
So much happened.
Of course, if Johann Stemmert were to snuff at this today, Sierra would rocket up the leaderboard.
Yes, he would. But unfortunately for you, Johann Stemmert is in very good condition.
All right. And Note for Note is in season number 74.
Yeah, he ain't dying.
So let's talk about things that are dying. The political parties are all trying to get ready for next year's election, and Patricia de Lille has decided to name her party. Do you know what she's called it?
Oh, give it a rest, Patricia.
She's called it Good.
Okay, so we weren't far off in what we said about the campaign name.
No, For Good.
We thought it was For Good. It's called Good.
Oh, my word.
Former Cape Town Mayor Patricia de Lille has announced the name of her party, and it's Good.
DeLille says, what does it stand for?
I don't know.
Is it an acronym, or she's just really got no creativity?
She says it's time for good. She announced it in Johannesburg. She said South Africans all across the country must take part in next year's elections. Aren't you excited?
There's a journalist somewhere in the country right now waiting for her to stuff up, for them to have the headline, Good is Bad.
That's Patricia, not so good.
Twitter's been obviously reacting to the name, and there are lots of silly scenarios.
Yeah,
like Me Too Hubby says, Patricia de Lille has named her party. Hubby says, what? I say, good. Hubby says, what? She says, good. And this could go on all afternoon.
Well, here's Patricia busy announcing the thing. It might just interest you to hear it in her own words.
To South Africa. So, I have been deeply encouraged by the response and the support that this message of good has prompted in our country. As I said, I wanted good South Africans, men and women, young and experienced, of all races, to step forward to lead our country.
Oprah was asking, why didn't we get that sound person? Apparently. All right, then there's a heat wave warning that's been issued for Gauteng, northeastern parts of South Africa.
I thought we were having one.
Yeah, well.
Another one, yeah. South African another one.
Weather Service has issued a heat wave alert for the northeastern parts of the country, including Gauteng. It says the heat wave takes hold on Sunday and is expected to last until Wednesday. Temperatures rising to the high 30s, ass.
This heat is exhausting.
Yeah. It really is. And there's no rain as well. No, everything is so dry right now.
Little chance of rainfall over the next 72 hours. We have hot weather coming through from Botswana down to the northeastern parts of South Africa. Temperatures will be very high for the next few days over the north. And Fenta, that's the guy from the Weather Bureau, says Wednesday that conditions should start cooling down for most parts for the rest of the week. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Happy with that?
Not really, no. But we'll accept.
I'm only telling you the news. Don't shoot the messenger. All right. Cape Town, the city's rail enforcement unit, says it's arrested 9 people since its deployment back in October. Just think about this. We've got a whole unit that we've deployed for the last 2 months, right? And they've managed to arrest 9 people. 9 people.
It's better than what I could have done.
I know, but why can't people just behave themselves? The reason we have to have this rail enforcement unit, you know what it is?
For the cable theft?
No, because people are burning trains. Oh. They're actually setting whole trains on fire. So it just seems if we could behave. And also, if you set a train on fire because, let's say, your train's late or the price has gone up or something, guess what you have then?
No train.
No train.
Well, according to... They covered this on Carte Blanche a few weeks ago. It was also linked to some taxi associations in Cape Town. So the taxi bosses want the trains to be burned so that more customers can use trains, but it just doesn't work that
way. Anyway, those guys are such gangsters. Those taxi people. We've got to put them out of business. Long live Uber. Long live all the other alternatives. Taxi business must die. It's bad for everybody. And then, this is quite interesting, our new communications and telecommunications ministry, you know, we've got one minister now for both of those, they say they will communicate with the public only upon concluding engagements with all parties involved on retrenchments at the SABC.
Ooh.
Yes, the City Press reported on Sunday morning that the new communications minister, Stellan Dabeni Abrams, has taken on the SABC board over its planned retrenchments. See, this is it. Government's now going to come in and try to, in inverted commas, save jobs, which means interfere, which means force the SABC into more debt and make them keep people they don't need. It's stupid. It's just completely stupid.
It's a vicious circle.
Yeah. In a letter to the board, she says they're going to give 3 billion government guarantees that the SABC applied for and a 1.2 billion loan from the Treasury. It's so nice to just borrow money and to take money and use money that isn't yours, that you didn't earn.
Like when you're SAA.
Yeah. The minister has apparently bemoaned the fact that the board is still planning to go ahead with retrenchments, irrespective of a possible successful bailout. See, government think that jobs are ways to keep citizens busy. They don't think that jobs are a way to increase productivity. They fundamentally don't understand economics. Particularly, it sounds like this minister has no idea of how economics works. The broadcaster intends retrenching 981 permanent staff and 1,200 freelancers. Well, that's how you survive tough times. Remember, they've got nothing in the bank at the moment, the SABC.
Can we never use the word successful and bailout in the same sentence? Because there's nothing successful about that.
No, there's none.
There's a fundamental error and failure when bailouts are in place.
Right. And then in Washington, solemn preparations underway for America's national farewell to George H.W. Bush, whose casket will be flown in from Texas to Washington aboard a presidential aircraft to Lyon State for the start of a days-long state homage. 41st president died on Friday, aged 94, at his home in Texas. A very gentle and peaceful passing, his lifelong friend and advisor, James Baker, said on ABC this week on Sunday. And apparently he will be flown aboard the presidential Boeing known as Air Force One, made available at Trump's direction, from Houston to Joint Base Andrews in Maryland. And then they're going to let him lie in state under the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol from Monday evening until Wednesday morning under the watchful gaze of an all-around-the-clock honors guard.
Is it protocol for presidents to lie in state?
Yes.
Everyone has to.
Well, past presidents do, yeah.
You don't have...
I don't know if they did that with Nixon, though, because he was kind of disgraced.
Oh.
I don't think they let Nixon lie in state, but who knows? I might be wrong. Anyway, so here's something fun. The former president had struggled for years with Parkinson's disease, which left him wheelchair-bound and often hospitalized, including after Barbara's death. But here's the fun part. On Friday, he began to go downhill. He hadn't eaten for 3 or 4 days. When an aide told Bush his friend was visiting that day, he perked up. He opened his eyes. He looked at me. And he said, "Hey, Bake, where are we going?" "We're going to heaven," James Baker said. Bush replied, "Good. That's where I want to go." Apparently, his last words were in a phone conversation to his son, George, and those were, "I love you too."
Oh.
So it's a very dignified way to go, right?
Yeah.
What
I like
that.
What
more do you want to say to you?
What more do you want?
As your last words.
Right. At the end of a 94-year-old life, a life well lived, good for him. So that's the news. It is 22 minutes to 7. Cryptocurrencies, do you even care?
No.
$3,995 for a Bitcoin, $113 for Ethereum, and Ben is here with the sport. Go on, Ben.
Indeed, Gareth. Unfortunately, Banyana came up just short in the AFCON Women's Final. The Mzansi Super League is really, really hotting up. And John Rahm, he gets the big win at Tigers Tournament. Of course, everybody was talking about this whole global citizen thing, but many, many more were talking about Banyana in the final of the women's AFCON against Nigeria. Like most finals, everyone sort of clams up and nothing really happens. 0-0 after full time. And then, unfortunately, Nigeria won 4-3. Well, unfortunately for South African fans, of course. If you're a Nigerian fan, you're probably saying, "Suck a dick, we won." Haha. So that's, either way, Banyana go through to the Women's World Cup, which was the big kind of result here. Sure, they would have loved the trophy as well, and obviously it was hugely heartbreaking to finish off second in the final, as it always is. But still, World Cup, huge amount of progress for a team that us South Africans can be so, so proud of. Speaking of being proud of, well, I think the Mzansi Super League is starting to really, really kick on. The last weekend's fixture list was, it was top versus bottom, middle versus middle, all over the place. but the results were pretty interesting. The Jersey Stars have suddenly come flying back into this tournament. Breeza Hendricks scored back-to-back hundreds over the weekend, which is pretty incredible. So the Jersey Stars beat the Durban Heat by 53 runs and absolutely hammered Nelson Mandela Bay Giants yesterday in PE by 81 runs. So it's them. The Paul Rocks are still bloody good. Obviously, thrashing the Heat. Everyone's thrashing the Heat, despite the fact that that team has got real star qualities. They've got Hashim Amla. They've got David Miller. They've got Elby Morkel. They've got Kyle Abbott. They've got a really strong side. But still, Paul Rocks even stronger. And they won by 9 wickets yesterday. And then on Saturday, the Cape Town Blitz, Quinton de Kock scored a thrilling 100 and absolutely rolled the Swanee Spartans. So Spartans pretty much, if you look at the log, right down there with the Durban Heat. And this week will be kind of like the last sort of big moving week because, well, let's be honest, there's definitely two halves developing here. So as of tomorrow, we'll be able to see the Cape Town Blitz versus the Jersey Stars. It's a big game because Cape Town Blitz is obviously the top team. Jersey Stars need to cement the top four. Spartans versus the Paul Rocks, no chance for the Spartans. There you go, I think. And then Nelson Mandela Bay Giants taking on Durban Heat in Durban. So those are some of your early week fixtures. So if you look at the log right now, Cape Town Blitz, they're on 25 points. Just clear away favourites. Nelson Mandela Bay Giants, despite the loss yesterday, they're on second on 19 points. The Jersey Stars have rocketed up to 15 points, which means they're third. And then the Paul Rocks on 13. So they've had a bit of a tough run of things the last few matches. And then the Spartans in fifth and the Durban Heat very much bringing up the rear after six matches with just one win. So you can get on down and watch those matches, of course, from as little as 25 rand. Steal. In the English Premier League over the weekend, sure, there's some interesting derbies here. The pick of the bunch, no doubt, was Arsenal beating Spurs yesterday. Arsenal went into the break 2-1 down, and tempers were flaring all over the pitch. Of course, there were contentious penalties being given. This derby, of course, always has so much niggle to it. And then Arsenal came back firing. They scored three unanswered goals in the second half. Some of them were absolutely brilliant. And a Spurs fan was then even arrested for throwing a banana peel onto the field.
Oh, no.
To add insult to the big injury, which was 4-2 result, was, yeah, arrested for throwing a banana peel. But there wasn't the only arrest. I think there were about six or seven arrests in total. So these derby matches really do bring out the worst or the best, depending on how you see a drama in the English Premier League. And we all know this is part of the whole facade, well, parade that the English Premier League is. So I don't think we can draw too much into that one. But Liverpool, they also managed to get a really good result. And with that, they stay unbeaten in the league. They beat Everton in the Merseyside derby. Elsewhere, Chelsea beat Fulham 2-0. Man United, jeepers, these guys are crap. They drew 2-2 with Southampton away. Even longer face for Jose Mourinho. Newcastle hammered at home by West Ham. And Man City, well, they did what Man City always do. They score lots of goals. And they are 3-1 winners over Watford. No, not Watford. Bournemouth. They beat Bournemouth. Oh. In other football, that was pretty much it because Bagnano lost in the final. But the Dubai Sevens, normally a great proving ground for the Blitzbox early in the season to show that they are ready to take any world championships. Well, they lost heavily in the quarterfinals. Yeah, they got thumped by England 22-5 in one of the most lackluster performances ever by this team. And I say ever, it's just that the bar is so high with these guys that they were completely useless, really. They then went on to lose the fifth playoff match against Fiji, and New Zealand won the tournament 21-5 over America. Of course, this weekend, if you're in Cape Town, it is the big Cape Town Sevens, which is the greatest Sevens event in the entire world, in the entire series. That's not just me saying it. It is rated time and time again the greatest Sevens event in the entire series at the Cape Town Stadium. An absolute super draw. And I think Gord actually works there. Gord does a lot of stuff. So you can see Gord in fancy dress, and you can hear his voice the whole day. If that's something you like, which for many people, it really can be. The Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight, well, some would say anticlimax because it finished in the draw. Others will say it was just another fantastic heavyweight battle, which definitely put boxing back in the good books of many, many sports fans. Now, we all know during the Klitschko era, which was so boring, no one really cared. And there was the rise of the UFC. But this fight, both two very worthy unbeaten heavyweights, it finished in the draw. Tyson Fury has put his ass a couple of times. Many believe he totally outboxed Wilder. But as Lennox Lewis said, it's difficult to be an Englishman going to America and getting a decision from the judges. He's not saying they cheated. He's just saying that the result may have been a little unfair. Tyson Fury believes that he is the champion. Everyone knows that. Of course, this will then lead to a huge money rematch because that's how boxing works. If you can somehow sneak a draw, well, you'll definitely get a big money return. Makes sense, really. John Rahm, he won Tiger's tournament. The one that Tiger finished second last in. Yeah, not so great. But then again, Tiger is, well, he'll fire where he needs to. The Masters is his next best thing. So he needs to get in good physical shape and be good with that. But yeah, John Rahm, because he won and Justin Rose could only finish in third, Justin Rose misses out on a chance to be the world's top golfer in the latest official world golf rankings. Rahm won by 4 shots in the end, which was a huge, huge win. Now, this is, of course, a very strength versus strength field. There's a limited amount of people, but all the biggest names are essentially there. I mean, Finau finished second, Henrik Stenson was in fourth, Patrick Cantlay and Ricky Fowler brought up fifth, and then Justin Johnson, Alex Noren, Xander Schauffele. You can go down this huge star-studded event. And Rahm, is he the new number one for 2019? This guy's got the pedigree, he keeps winning, he gets stronger and stronger, and to think he is still so, so young. The guy hasn't played many majors. He's been on tour for, what, 2 years now. I think he's going to be a real big name for 2019 season. And that is it, pretty much, Gareth. It was a great sporting weekend. Of course, some Zanzi Super League to look forward to this week. And, well, there was a bit of rugby over the weekend. The Bar Black Bars Springboks.
You mean Bar Bar Black Sheep?
The Bar Box. They beat Argentina. And Rossi was, of course, for his 75,000th job of the year, he was the coach of the Bar Bars over the weekend. And he just filled the team full of box. And Alison Janchi's final drop goal late in the game made them win 38-35. And there's your sport right for the Monday.
Thank you very much, Ben. It's time for Anthea, everybody. She was full of money. Yes, she does so. The Money Shot is brought to you by Easy Equities. Are you in hashtag InvestStar yet? We'll tell you what that is in a minute. It's time to turn investors into rock stars. But first things first, here she is, Anthea Gardner. Good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Very good.
Good. Have you got some good news for us?
I've got news.
All right. Go on.
Yes, I do have good news, actually, because last week on the macro front, the U.S. third quarter GDP number was released, came in at a healthy 3.5%. Most of the week was focused really on watching Donald Trump, President Trump, tweet, because we were all waiting to see insights because it was the G20 meeting this week.
Everything's weekend. Great. It's terrific.
And I'm not. I'm going to impose sanctions on China. That's what we were worried about.
Yeah.
And so they met on Saturday. They met at the G20 mm-hmm. on Saturday. President Xi Jinping and President Donald Trump, and they agreed that Trump would not impose further tariffs on China, and China would continue to buy goods from the US. Well, hey, all's good.
Yeah, but this is what. Look, this is a big move because really China had a deal that suited them and America just complied with the Chinese deal for such a long time as if there was no alternative. Trump decided, no, hell with that. I'm gonna make sure that America gets a good deal too. And that's more or less what he's tried to negotiate for.
So you're making China sound like the big bad wolf.
Yeah.
Because there are how many? A billion people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a billion people. And they've got spending power, and if you want to build a company, you want those people to be buying your goods, right? But hang on, because America was a strong superpower at one stage, apparently still is.
Still is.
And so they did exactly the same. You know, it's no different, really.
But that's how deals work. It's power play.
Exactly. Right? That's exactly what it is. And then in addition, last night, China announced that they were cutting their margin requirement for stock index futures. And in normal person speak, basically, they've made it easier to buy into the stock market with less capital. So the good news is, I think today, because of that combination of what happened this weekend, I think the stock market's going to have a nice little rally.
Yay.
So if you do want to become a hashtag invest star, then I think, you know, get in early today because chances are the market will rally.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a second and explain to you what we're doing there. Yeah.
And then on the local macro front, South African business confidence came in last week, fell for the third straight quarter to 31 points. Then that was the fourth quarter number, and the third quarter before that was 34 points. So you can see it's dropping further below this kind of essential 50 mark, which is the difference between negative and positive, below 50 obviously being negative a reading. And then, of course, you would have seen the headlines highlighting that it's the lowest level since the second quarter of 2017 when former President Jacob Zuma fired Pravin Gordhan. And we had our debt rating cut to junk status by S&P and Fitch. However, I want to point out that if you drill down into these numbers, you'll see that sentiment actually improved in three of the five sectors that they surveyed. So in manufacturing, retail, wholesale. And the real drop was from vehicle dealer confidence because we're just not buying new cars. And understandably so, the consumer's under pressure. So of course that's going to happen, right? I mean, I've got some good news for the consumer. On Wednesday, our petrol price goes down.
By how much do we know?
I think it's about 1.80 rand, which is a nice big jump.
Okay.
In fact, I think 2 weeks ago I calculated, and we spoke about it 2 weeks ago, we said that we were collecting 2.40 rand in excess of the petrol price when you take the rand dollar exchange rate and the oil price into consideration. We were actually, the real petrol price was 2.40 rand than we were paying.
2.40 rand less?
More. We were paying more for petrol than it was being priced at considering where the rand and the oil price were.
Yeah, I remember you predicted it and we all kind of went, oh, I don't know.
And we got it.
Yeah. Well done.
So you've got to listen to Anthea. All right.
Thank you. And then also consumer confidence was released and also very disappointing. But I think what's happened is that consumer confidence, we had Ramaphosa earlier this year and consumer confidence was very buoyed and then nothing really happened and now everyone's a little bit sad again and that's really what it is. So that's also fairly predictive. Kind of.
All right.
And then on company news, this is another indicator of why the market should rally today. Naspers released their first half results last week. A really great set of results, quite frankly.
Oh, yes.
Core headline earnings per share was up 39% year on year. The classifieds business moved to profitability. The food delivery business went backwards a little bit. But Naspers managed to monetize $12 billion. That's a big number. By selling 2% of their holding in Tencent and selling their Flipkart business, which is an Indian e-commerce business, which was founded in 2007. Revenue in Flipkart last year was $2.8 billion. So that's nice. And Naspers has said, because of that nice little windfall, although it reduces revenue, obviously, by the amount that they sold, $2.8 billion in Flipkart, they are sitting on 8.7 billion rand to invest in companies in South Africa.
Are they going to?
I think they will, yes.
Okay.
I think they're looking. Okay, so they may not spend it all in South Africa, but I think they are looking for the big wins, you know, the companies that can grow exponentially, because that's what Naspers does now. It's not a media company anymore. Okay. Although they may invest in media assets, but you know what I mean.
Okay.
Then we had big drama again last week with a company called Nepi Rockcastle, which is a property company invested mostly in shopping centers in Eastern Europe, but listed on the JSE. The share fell 14%, and I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, when Viceroy again released a report. I know. I mean, somebody's got to take these Viceroy guys in hand. You know, it's ridiculous now. They keep putting out these reports. Sure, they got lucky with Steinhoff. You know, they put out a report saying there was drama in Steinhoff and there were issues on the balance sheet and they got lucky with Steinhoff. But they also did it with Capitec and with Aspen, which, like, the Capitec share fell. But management came back and said, oh, sorry, you're so wrong about this. So what happens, you know, is that Viceroy can short shares. So they go in, they sell these shares, and then they put out a damning report, and then the share drops, and they make money. It's like, can somebody please stop this?
Yeah, there's got to be something about that that's, you know,
illegal, market manipulation.
Sure.
So I think they're getting around it by not being in the jurisdiction where they put reports out. That's the first thing. And actually, it's not illegal to write a report. What I'm finding very disconcerting is that they're trying their luck. So I also have bad opinions about reports and I also put out bad reports on companies. And I also say sometimes I'm probably more moderated than they are, a lot more moderated.
Mm-hmm.
But I also say, well, this company's not going to perform because of X, Y, and Z. You know, maybe they're too indebted. Maybe they've got ring-fenced balance sheet issues, whatever the case may be. But these guys are, they're just ridiculous about it, actually.
All right, Pepco.
Yeah, this was not great. Eh? So basically, I think it's a year that management want to forget. In fact, the chairman referred to it as the year of the struggle. So Steinhoff owns 71% of Pepco, which was unbundled and then listed separately on the JSE again. And basically, they spent the year fighting fires, the biggest of which was the refinancing of 16 billion rands worth of Steinhoff shareholder funding. And they had to go through the process of finding new funding, because obviously Steinhoff doesn't have it. And then also the second issue was the culmination of the walkout of 100 of Techie Town's most senior staff. You know, they were also part of the group. And Bram van Heerden and his team went off and started, or did he call it T2, I think? Techie Town 2. I think he called it T2.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I had a walkout there. And you know what's interesting about Pepco, which came to fruition or showed in the results, was that deflation. So we as consumers think that deflation is a good thing because we want to pay less for our goods next year, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to pay more for it. But actually, in Pepco's case, they were saying that they couldn't pass on this deflation. They did pass on the deflation to the consumers. So their revenue was less because they were selling goods for lower prices. So thanks to the consumer, but if you're a shareholder, not so great. I mean, turnover rose by 10.9 billion rand. 64.2 billion rand, which is about 11%. But when you look at kind of the margins being squeezed, headline earnings per share, which is the number we always look at, the real number, was actually lower. So a bit disappointing there.
African Bank?
So there's
so much competition in banking at the moment,
absolutely, huh? And African Development Bank are throwing their hat in the ring, saying that they want to become the lowest cost transactional bank account in South Africa, and they want to dislodge Capitec, in fact. Their results were okay, nothing spectacular really. And they're launching an African Bank app, which they've already piloted with 3,000 of their employees. So I think it'll just be interesting to see what happens there. You know, are they going to compete against everybody else? Zero and so many others.
So usually we speak about saving and investing, where saving is for the short term and we don't want to risk our capital. Money market accounts and bank deposits are best, and investing is for the medium to long term, right, Anthea?
That's correct.
Shares generally outperform other asset classes, but they're hugely volatile, as we've learned this year. It did not go well on the JSE for most of us. However, this competition that we're going to talk about today is about generating returns in the short term. That is called trading or speculating. And you've warned me about these traders, these day traders, over and over again. But at the moment, I mean, I'm looking at the crypto assets that I bought last year, which are a disaster, unmitigated disaster. The only place in the world that's performed worse than the cryptocurrency markets for anyone who bought last year is Venezuela.
It's an interesting comparison. Is it real?
Yeah, well, I think Venezuela,
I think it probably is.
Venezuela's the winner by a large margin, but still.
Yeah, so if you had bought your cryptocurrency, your bitcoins, or whatever other cryptocurrency you were buying, and then sold them when you made a profit, and then bought some back when it went down, and then sold them again when they went up. So basically scalping, you know, just taking those little returns every couple of days or every couple of
weeks.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda. You would have done particularly well. The problem with that, of course, is trading costs. So that erodes your return. But I think because we're running a competition for, how long is it? A month, 2 months?
Yeah, it's until the middle of January.
Okay, so let's say a month and a half. And because Easy Equities, the costs are so low for trading, I think it's the perfect platform and it'll be so much fun. So what you need to do is choose shares that you think are going to benefit in the next month and a half. In other words, which shares are going to benefit from the Christmas rally? Now think about that. Where do you spend your money at Christmas? Clothing shops, food retailers, gift shops, that sort of thing. And then hopefully in January, what they'll do is put out a trading statement saying, oh, sales were fantastic and the share will jump. That's right. Kind of where you want to go, right?
Okay.
The other thing to look out for is corporate actions, but they're so difficult to predict. You know, it would be great if you bought Naspers shares and Naspers said, we're buying Cliff Central and its earnings accretive by, you know, 10 Rand a share or something. That would be fantastic, right? But we don't know if they're going to do that. Yeah. And they generally won't tell us until the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So
But this is how you make those quick wins.
That's right.
Okay.
And so that's why this competition really is about choosing stocks which you're comfortable with, which you're happy with, and that are not going to go down over this period. And in fact, hopefully will jump. So if you think the market, and we do have some naysayers, you think the market's going to go down between now and the 15th of January. In fact, what you should be doing is buying yielding assets or dividend-paying assets, so a bond or an ETF on bonds, or some property shares maybe, where you will get where the dividend yield is kind of set for the year almost, and you will make a positive return, or in some sort of money market instrument.
All right, so what we're basically doing is we're launching a new kind of way to trade. Rock stars are everywhere, but you probably haven't heard of an InvestStar. InvestStar, you get it? Investor. You can be an InvestStar by simply registering on hashtag invest with Easy Equities, who will kickstart your investment journey with 50 Rand. So they'll throw in 50 bucks, depending on how much you want to get involved. Use your demo account and build a portfolio of stocks. So it's only going to run for a month and a bit. And if you get in there now, the highest rate of return wins 5,000 Rand into the invest portfolio of their choice. So, in other words, if you perform the best, you get the kudos. We'll all talk about you. You become famous. You become well-known as an amateur investor who's managed to make it work for them. You've managed to call the right stocks. Anthea will be impressed. I'll be impressed. We'll all be impressed. And then you also get 5,000 Rand into that portfolio. That'll help boost your investment
too. Actually, that'll be into one of our hashtag invest portfolios that I manage, one of the four.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So okay. I'll manage the 5,000 Rand for you, unless you really want to manage it on your own. Because that'll be investing, and that'll be for the long term. Whereas this will be a nice trading, fun exercise.
All right, so let's see. You think you're good at this?
I was about to ask, do you need to know what you're doing? Can anyone do it?
I think you need a combination of some skill and some luck.
So I think what we'll do, what we should do maybe, is every week for the next month and a half, give tips. How's that?
All right.
So listen in every Monday.
Very good.
And I think Naspers will run today.
All right. There's your first tip. T's and C's apply. Find out more at cliffcentral.com. You can find the link there and everything else that you need. The Money Shot is brought to you by Easy Equities. Are you ready to rock investing with hashtag invest? Go to cliffcentral.com and follow The Money Shot with Anthea for more. Very good. All right, Anthea, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to hearing which stocks you've chosen next week.
Indeed. We will we'll talk about this again in a week's time. In the meantime, let's get your day off to a good start. We've got loads of news to get to, things that you want to talk about, stuff that's happening all over South Africa and the world, and you can be a part of the discussion on what is the number?
0861-555-189.
I went completely blank there for a second. It was going so well, and then suddenly it wasn't. And if you want to message us, you can do that on 079-748-2090. Here's two of the artists who Sia might have seen yesterday.
I forgot him as well, Chris Martin.
But Sia didn't get to the stadium.
Yeah.
This is CliffCentral.com.